Couple nights ago, no Keegan Murray, no problem. Last night, no Kevin Huerter, no problem. Is it possible, Chris, as you've discussed the touches that Harrison Barnes was getting last season compared to this season? We discussed the number of shots that Kevin Huerter was getting last season compared to this season. Is it possible? I don't want to say that the Kings are better with one less scoring option, because that's not it.
Sure.
And Keon Ellis has been scoring, right?
Yes.
I mean, 14 points, that's not what Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter are normally getting to.
Yep.
How do you explain why the offense has looked good when, in theory, it shouldn't look as good the last two nights when you're missing two sharpshooters, two scorers?
I think it's just, if funny enough, everybody's just been hitting shots. Like, I just think everything looks better when everyone's hitting shots. Again, HB hit 7 yesterday. Keegan hit 5 of them. Keon hit 3 as well. Duarte came in and hit 2. You know, it really, to me, is as simple as if not just, you know, Kevin or Keegan, but if the collection of the guys are hitting from the perimeter, things are going to look better. It's really about, hey, maybe on a game where they're shooting 32 to 35%, how do they look in those games? How does the offense look in those games? Are they hitting timely threes, or is it just going ice cold and just missing after missing after missing? Those are the games where I'm more intrigued to see who steps up, who ends up hitting a majority of the shots, where do they go? But right now, I mean, the collection of guys hitting threes definitely makes the offense in total just look a lot more smooth, and it just makes it a lot harder to guard.
So I guess what I'm alluding to is maybe the mindset of knowing we have one less person, I need to be more aggressive. We saw Kevin Huerter be more aggressive two nights ago. We definitely saw Harrison Barnes be more aggressive, really both nights, but specifically last night, and Keegan Murray. So you don't think there's anything too many cooks in the kitchen?
No, I don't think so, because I think that as long as everybody, you know, because there is the typical there's only one ball thing, but I think that more so applies to ball-dominant guys. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as you're spreading the floor with spot-up shooters, which Kevin, HB, Keegan, Duarte definitely fits that role, and Keon can knock it down. They've had Davion in that role too. I think as long as you have the spot-up shooters out there and not guys who just need the ball in their hands, I think you should be fine. Like, I think it – because I asked this same question during the offseason before we even saw this team play. Just, can you have too much shooting?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? And the answer I got repeatedly was no. Like, I mean, you can always throw somebody – if HB doesn't have it on a night, well, you can throw Duarte in there who might have it on that night. And there's just more options to have hit threes. So, no, I mean, I would say that they probably don't have a disease of more kind of thing where there's almost too many mouths to feed. I think somebody naturally is going to have to take a step back. But, no, I wouldn't say that there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, and really, if you look at the actual team, and if you put in – there's nobody, and Coach will tell you this, there's nobody that they would really say, we need to get – so-and-so going. It's always flow of the offense.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Whoever's going is going. And we've even said, to the Kings' detriment, when somebody is cooking, they don't really force feed that person unless it's the Keegan Murray 11 straight threes or whatever it is. So I hear you on that. Curtis Hicks is also saying in the Sack Chat, when your defense fuels your offense, then you don't need as many shooters because your transition points are beefed up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's definitely it. And I mean, also when you're playing defense, the sense of urgency to hit those threes isn't as immediate because you're not trying to play keep up. You're just trying to keep stacking points, and you're just trying to keep the pressure on the other team. So yeah, I mean, definitely that's a great point. I definitely think the defense, as much as the everybody hitting shots definitely helps, absolutely, the defense just makes it a lot less urgent and a lot less important for everybody to be on. Like, you know, if you're only allowing 107 points, you only got to score 108. Getting 120 is great, but at the end of the day, you're just looking to get the result. So I think that the defense, that's a great point.
Yeah, I do think some of that is a mentality too, though.
Sure.
And even if it's subconscious, Harrison Barnes just knowing, okay, my guy is out, Keegan Murray's out, Kevin Herter's out. I got to make sure that I step up.
Yeah, you got to pick up some slack for sure. Especially Trey Lyles as well.
Trey Lyles, yes, right? Specifically for the Harrison Barnes situation. And then you got Keegan Murray who did his thing too. The Kings just need to figure out how to manufacture the urgency. Mm-hmm. And maybe it now is being manufactured because, and we heard from Domas, maybe it is now manufactured, but that has been the issue.
Sure.
They're not playing a bad team on Saturday, so I don't think they will have to manufacture the energy or the urgency. The next time they play a team that they should beat, we'll have that question. Right. But it's just there's manufacturing the energy and then there's manufacturing the urgency from the Harrison Barnes standpoint. When they know we're down a couple guys, they can feel it, which has got to be somewhat frustrating for Coach Mike Brown because, hey, we're fully loaded and we don't have this type of energy. We should be blowing these teams out and we're not because we take it easy because we know that we're fully loaded.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's got to be really frustrating. I mean, effort's the one thing that'll drive a coach mad because, again, they'll always say it, but it's the one thing you can control. And, yeah, I mean, too many times this season, it's just felt like, shout out our boy Zion, they've just been too lazzazazical. Like, they have not had the attention to detail necessary. And, you know, they're not playing a bad team on Saturday, but they have a stretch here coming up next week, really for the entirety of the week. It depends how you feel about the Magic these days, but they've got the Grizzlies on Monday. They've got the Raptors on Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Wizards on Thursday.
And then
Orlando on Saturday. And you can even push that to Monday playing the 76ers, who I talked about in the crosstalk, haven't scored 80 points in their last two games. So you've got some inferior opponents coming up here down the line. In a weird way, I mean, this is kind of like the final hurdle that this team needs to get over. Not that it really matters for, you know, playoff implications in terms of how we feel about this team playing in the playoffs, but it's got big implications for if y'all don't take care of these five opponents coming up, the Grizzlies, Raptors, Wizards, Magic, and Sixers, like, those are again, we talked about it at the start of March. Mm-hmm. These are the games that you have to pencil in with how tight this Western Conference race is. Got to take care of business in those games. And they're on the road, so maybe in a weird way.
Are they home or on the road?
Three of those games are on the road. Okay. So in a weird way, maybe you feel better about it. But those are games that the Kings have to take care of. And absolutely, you have to bring the same level. If not, I said it earlier when they were playing the Spurs after the break. If anything, maybe even give these games more attention just because of how much you know you guys have slipped in these exact kind of games. And it's not just going to be the first one. Don't just bring that sense of urgency on Monday against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
You got to bring it again on Wednesday against the Raptors. And then you got to bring it the next day against the Wizards. I don't care if Jordan Poole is taking 33s in a game.
Yeah.
You've got to bring it every single night. And this little five-game stretch here is really the last easy pocket that the Kings have. Then after that Sixers game, they've got the Dallas two-game series. Then they have Utah, but then it's the brutal stretch of April, man. Yeah. It's Clippers, Knicks, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Pelicans, Suns, and then last game, Blazers. The last hurdle is coming up, and they need to be able to clear it with ease because they have a brutal stretch of games to end this season. And you, like I said, you got to eat your veggies right now.
Yeah, you have to, and that's what they have been doing. The thing about the Kings right now is, you know, we try on this show to not get too up or too down, which can be very tough.
Yeah, emphasis on try.
Yes, we try. I'm not saying we're successful at all, but I think the Kings have actually done a great job of that. When I look at being even keeled, and that's what they tell you in high school. Yeah. Hey, guys, you got to be even keeled. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. When these kids are going through puberty, there's a lot of stuff going on. They are not. They are not going to just be able to chill. That is not it. But that's what the coaches want them to do. And with the Kings, we see them do that. And kind of like what I was discussing earlier as far as, man, where is the passion? Where is this? Where is that? We're starting to see it now. Mm-hmm. But you have a Laker team. The Lakers – they are the opposite of even keel. You got D'Lo doing merengue and salsa dances on the sideline.
They're the most front-runner energy I think I've ever seen.
The most front-runner energy ever.
Yeah.
And if you look at
because when things are bad, man, you see you like
tell.
Like last night.
They just didn't want to be there. And when I look at the teams at the top of the West, one of the things they're all really good at, to be honest, the Nuggets even keel.
Yep.
The Thunder, for how young they are wise beyond their years. We'll see in the playoffs, but they are very even keel.
Right.
The Timberwolves are a team that maybe not so much.
Sure.
That's a lot of Carl Anthony Towns and Gobert. Clippers, I mean, they're just no personality unless you're on Podcast P. So they don't have that much either. And I would say similar with the Pelicans. All these teams are very even keeled.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the bottom of the West.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns. Not even keel.
A lot of flaunt, yeah.
The Mavericks, definitely not even keel. You got Luka, who's ready to destroy a referee every
time. He's already complaining about fouls.
The Lakers, we just discussed. The Warriors, you got Steph doing golf poses when they're winning and just getting memed when they're losing. And Draymond obviously leads that charge. And you got Pajemski, don't get me started on him.
Terror stories coming out about that dude every day.
And they're not, and they're trying to put lipstick on a pig. I'm telling you right now, Jordan Poole got punched so Brandon Pajemski could run. That's what happened. So you look at the bottom of the West, these are all teams that cannot just stay even keeled, and that type of stuff matters.
Yeah, no, absolutely, especially down the stretch here.
Especially down the stretch.
Every single game counts. Like you can't let one game spiral in the same way you can't let a loss let your team spiral in the same way. You know, you get one win, you still got to go out and earn the win the next day. So I definitely agree with you, especially, you know, again, with how tight everything is. I don't need these guys getting down on themselves. I think that's why Mike Brown, we talked about it earlier, he's not trying to kill anyone's confidence right now down the stretch. Maybe if this were earlier in the season where you could say, oh, you know, there's some time for, you know, these guys that I can put them down now, but there's time for them to kind of recoup.
Mm-hmm.
Not the time. Right now you need everybody feeling good. You need everybody playing good. And, you know, for the most part, it feels like you're getting a lot of really good performances out of guys. I know here recently in a couple games, there's been a lot of Sabonis, Fox, Monk-led games, but it's about getting HB feeling good. It's about Keegan starting to get over that slump that he had before he got injured. And yeah, I mean, Kevin played a pretty good game on Tuesday. It's about getting those guys ready for this postseason stretch because in the playoffs, man, you're not going to – I know it's a star-driven league, but – they're going to need those other guys to kind of even out the star power that the Kings are kind of lacking in terms of, you know, De'Aaron and Domas. We love them, but they're just not regarded as one of the best duos in this league. They're the Kings' strength. I almost said it. I don't want to say it, but the Kings' strength is in their numbers.
Wow. Well, it's true. It's true.
It just makes me sick to use a word.
I know,
we're purple-blooded out here.
That was a long time ago.
They don't even acknowledge it anymore, really.
That was a long time ago. When we get back, we will continue the conversation, and we will hear from not just the Kings, but around the league on how officiating has changed post-All-Star break and really all season long, and how that can be a positive for how the Kings play defense. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Defense wins championships. That's what they say. Or maybe it's a really good offense. Depends on the year and depends on that offense. As De'Aaron Fox, very open during his post-game pressers, as per usual. He can be very open about certain things. Other things, you'll get athlete speak.
Yeah.
And in other situations, he will be very open. And one thing, Chris, and I, we were hanging out, or I was hanging out with our guy, Scott Marsh, and Whitey Gleason during the post-game presser, and Scott Marsh brought something to our attention and really just doubling down on what you had mentioned last week as far as the fouls. Did you know that the NBA this season is on pace for the least amount of fouls since the 1950 season?
1950?
That is correct.
No, I had no idea.
And it's going around the league. Conversations are being had about how things are a little bit different. And I think that helps a team who, I don't know how to put this as far as the Kings and how they play defensively, but they can be a little handsy.
Yes.
Right? And it helps. A long time ago, or earlier in the season, which feels like a long time ago, there was a clip of OG Anunoby. And OG Anunoby was getting all, he was all over this guy, just hounding this dude. It was one of his first games with the Knicks. And somebody said, this is how defense should be taught. This is how you play defense. And I went ahead and quote posted it, and I said, Chris Duarte does this every single game, but because he has no cachet, he ends up with 3 fouls
yes.
in about 5 minutes, right? And everybody was laughing about it. But if that is now how everybody is going to be officiated, that really opens up some things for the Chris Duartes of the world, for the Keon Ellis of the world, for the Swipe of the Foxes of the world. So I think that on top of the fact that they're playing better and they're talking a lot, everybody from Mike Brown to Sabonis, all talking about the communication on top of that and on top of the effort, I do think that this change in officiating is helping as well.
Definitely, absolutely, because, you know, the Kings, you know, that's going to be kind of how they make up for their, you know, we talk a lot, or callers tell us all the time, this team has a lack of athleticism. Well, an easy way of making sure people don't get around you is if you kind of box them in.
Right.
And if you're able to touch them up and keep them, you know, in your zone almost, that's going to help you out. And you know, funny enough, what's the one thing that old heads will always tell you, the retired basketball players will always say, the 80s, man, you could do X, and you can't do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
Hand-checking.
That's the
one thing they always use is, back in my day, hand-checking, you couldn't bring the ball past half court without somebody's hands all up in your cookie jar.
We don't pick your pocket.
It's like, you know, and I get it. No, absolutely. And I'm not saying it like they're being overreactionary or anything. It's totally true. But if it is coming back, I definitely think that it's good for the Kings because, and that's what they've been talking about here recently with their 3-guard lineup. Malik talked about it the other day. The reason why Davion, Keon, and De'Aaron, or Davion, Monk, and De'Aaron, whatever combination of the 3-guards combination that the Kings are using. Oh, Simone was on it. Whatever group they're using there, they're able to really hand, like they're able to get in those guys' grills and put in a lot of ball pressure, and that's how this team can be passable defensively. I mean, we know even still they don't have real rim protection, but if they can keep guys from getting to the rim or at least delaying them from getting to the rim as long as possible, that's how this team can win.
Yeah, and we'll see how long it lasts in terms of whether or not, because, you know, I'm seeing people on the text line just say, hey, it doesn't really happen for the Kings, but it'll happen against the Kings. And, yeah, the free throws haven't really said that.
Definitely
but
not.
Maybe that said there would have been even more free throws.
Yeah.
Who knows? But let's hear from De'Aaron Fox, who is highlighting the defensive physicality.
Well, it's something that we have to concentrate on. I mean, our season lies in what we do defensively. And if we're able to do that, obviously you're not going to, you know, hold teams under 100 all the time, or even in this league now, 110 all the time. But if we can go out there, we can be physical. We can kind of dictate, you know, their movement. And I feel like games are being called a little differently. They say that they're not, but I think it's very obvious that they are. We can sit here and lie all we want, but try to see, you know, how physical can you be without, you know, being called for fouls. And we're trying to find that happy median. I think these last two games, obviously yesterday they shot 32 free throws, but I still think we did a good job with our physicality. And this night, 21 is not, was it 22 is not a bad mark, but with us being physical as we are, I think we're doing a great job trying to keep them off the line.
Can you get fined for that?
He's so funny. That's a great question. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, because that's more questioning the league than questioning like a specific call or like a specific official. That's why we've talked about it all this. De'Aaron's so real.
Yeah.
He does not care at all. He's like, we can that's ultimate peeling back the curtain and just be like, if we want to act like that's the case, then whatever. But we all know we're out here, we're seeing it, and you see the numbers. Again, free throws are down from 45 or something like that to 40 per game combined. Like they're they're definitely calling the game differently. And you just hope that in the playoffs it's the same for all teams, because that's all every player asks for is consistency. But also, maybe it even goes to another level in the playoffs, and I wonder how much that helps the Kings defensively as well, because we saw them take that leap defensively last year in the playoffs, both in terms of the actual numbers and physically. You could see that they were just a lot more in guys' faces, a lot more, you know, Doug used to talk about it all the time when he sat in this seat right here. He would say, man, defensively, they have to feel you. Every single possession, if you're going a defensive possession and you're not touching the guy that you're playing, or you're defending, you're not playing defense. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think the Kings, and Doug specifically, has really been preaching to these guys. It's just make them feel you defensively. Don't let these guys just do drill work on you, because they're all pros, man. They'll hit tough shots. You saw Keon Ellis yesterday hit a shot over AD. Like, these dudes are tough shot makers.
Right.
So if you're not going to actually make them feel your presence, then everybody's going to feel like drill work.
In about 30 minutes, you will have a chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. That is at 1 p.m. Simone will pick the lucky number, 916-339-1140. When we return, we will hear from friend of the show, but also a foe of the Sacramento Kings, and what he has to say about the change in refereeing. Also, we will hear from national media how they're starting to change their tune about the Sacramento Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are 30 minutes away from your chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center, March 29th. 916-339-1140 for your opportunity to see a local legend.
That's right.
But speaking of local, I just want to take a second here. And we've been cooking on Kings all day, and we're going to continue to be in the kitchen like the Kings were last night, cooking up a Lakers L. So
yum.
I'm in Natomas, and they're opening up a Costco.
That's right. Yeah, they're making a really big deal.
So I'm not... If Dave hears this, he's never going to hear. I'm never going to hear the end of it. But I was going to the gym this morning, and it's about 6:30 in the morning, and I turn on the local news, mm-hmm. and there were people waiting.
Yeah, I saw that,
to get into Costco, and I think maybe somebody said they were giving away a gift card or something. But they were 100 people deep. And it was windy as heck this morning. It was cold.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, no hate, because maybe you're waiting while you're in line, or hopefully you got in by now. But why was that necessary? I love Costco too, but...
Yeah. I'm new to it, but it's great. But yeah, I don't feel any need to get in there when they open, you know?
It got so quiet in here.
I don't know. If you went to the Costco grand opening this morning, can you explain to us why? I'm just curious.
Is it just to say you did? Like,
and if it was a gift card, what's the number of gift cards to make you stand in line? It was windy this morning.
I would have to get
6:30 in the morning. And I know you, it's got 6:30 in the morning for Chris.
With wind?
Chris needs 3 digits.
Let me start at 100. Chris?
Chris, you in at 100?
That's not going far at Costco, so no. That's not going far enough.
That'll help.
It would
though.
Give me. I would consider it, but 6:30 with like then you're talking about getting up at 5:45.
You're out.
I'm out on 100.
6:30.
And are we saying one person gets this gift card, or hey, first 100 people?
No,
get
no, no.
You
everybody
would get it,
in
yes.
the everybody in the line gets the gift card.
You're Ooh. Getting a gift card.
So
if
there's
you
a
wait.
Guarantee. Ooh. Yeah, I might.
Yeah. So if the question is how long? Let's say.
Yeah.
You have to get 30 minutes. You have to get there at 6:30. So you're out there for 30 minutes in the cold,
mm-hmm.
and then you get into Costco at 7 a.m.
You would definitely have to, I would personally have to have something in mind that I'm going there for. It would have to be a big purchase. Like, I'm not going there just to say.
And you clearly,
yeah.
you know, maybe you work from home, or you have a very right. flexible schedule to be able right. to do this. Technically, I could have done it.
We could have. Maybe, I mean, depending on how long that line is, because that's the thing. Like, it, you know, money, yeah, we set the 100, but like wait time, 45 minutes, I go to Disneyland all the time, but I don't know. 45 minutes might be a little long.
Yeah, 45 is just tough. Just for Costco. 45 is tough.
And the line's at 45.
Yeah, then you gotta go into Costco. I got a couple things, and
it's
hopefully
be a
I'm
big
at about
purchase, man.
Yeah,
it's
well, really I'm going $200.
Yeah,
you break off the 100,
right?
And you feel like there's value because it's honestly right down the street from me, so it's a little different.
Oh, that's nice though. It's down the street.
I think the traffic's gonna be much worse.
That's probably a good point.
All right, if you were at the Natomas Costco, let us know.
There?
Was it worth it? Let's see. The 916, this is from Amid Rock. Costco grand openings always have something that you're not going to find at retail price if you're looking for a rare whiskey or bourbon.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. See, that's where Costco's different, man. Costco is different. They, like, really operate on their own rules there. And, like, I mean, yeah. They probably got
a secret menu.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah,
they probably got a secret menu.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, keep it coming if you are out there.
Interesting.
At the Costco as we continue.
I guess they don't have grand openings very often either.
No, but this is a big one.
There's not a lot of Costco.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, it's the talk of the town out here in the NATO.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's hear from friend of the show, but not friend of the Sacramento Kings, Zion Williamson, and the defense and the difference in how games are being officiated. He didn't want to get in trouble, but this reporter almost led him to do so. Here he is.
Wow. You're a liar. You're trying to get me in trouble. No, I'm just messing. If I had to take a guess, they're getting ready for playoffs. Because anybody that I know that's been in the playoffs, especially vets, they say in the playoffs, a lot of those calls, people aren't going to get. So maybe they're just preparing everybody for what the playoffs going to look like.
I mean,
this is good, I think.
It makes sense.
I think it's good.
You think it's good for the game, like, that they're prepping? I mean,
I think it's good.
I definitely think in general, the game should be called more like playoff basketball. Like, you got to let these guys play. And the game was getting a little soft, and, mm-hmm. you know, the whistles were getting a bit excessive, and, you know, it was you were getting foul calls for things that just weren't basketball plays. Like, you got guys diving into people, got guys kicking their feet out, just trying to draw fouls and not actually try and make shots or make a basketball move. So, yeah, I mean, I've got no problem with it. And this is now enough people that I've heard talk about this to where this is just a fact. Like, it's just a fact that the game is being called
differently. Do you think it's weird, though?
It's definitely
legitimately.
It's definitely strange.
There are different rules for the same game.
Yeah.
Let's think about this in any other sport, really.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL playoffs, is officiating different?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
MLB playoffs, is the strike zone different?
Not to my knowledge.
Actually, football, the only thing that is different now is the overtime. But that's a rule.
Right.
That's something tangible.
Yes.
This isn't tangible.
Right.
This is,
it'd be all subjective. If pass interference were called differently.
Yes.
In, like, the last stretch. Like, oh, all of a sudden, you're actually allowed to bump receivers at the line of scrimmage.
And so,
in the playoffs, it's harder to complete passes. And that's why you have to have a good running. Like, it would cause such a domino effect. And, yeah, I mean, you could say maybe a team like the Lakers, this doesn't really benefit them because they're used to getting every foul call and really winning because of how big the discrepancy is between their free throws and the opposing team free throws. So, it's definitely good for a team like the Kings, and I think it's good for the sport of basketball, but it's probably not great that it's literally changing up in the last third of the season. You've been playing, because that's why, again, the only thing players ask for, they don't really, like, they care if, I think they were starting to care about the things that they felt like were bad calls.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they just want to know, hey, this is a foul, this is a foul, this is a foul. And every single game you play, this will be a foul.
Mm-hmm.
They hate the inconsistency of, well, I was just this handsy the other day and I was able to play 35 minutes, but then tonight I get two fouls and can only play 10. And they just want the consistency. So as long as they are now just committing to, hey, it's going to be this physical for the rest of the year, I'm fine with it. But even then, you probably shouldn't switch it up in the middle of the season. That's kind of crazy.
The other thing is the NBA has already said that they're looking to give defense more of an opportunity.
Right.
So now that the cat is out of the bag and you know that you're leading to change something, you already know that in the minds of the refs, it's already happening.
Yeah, right.
On top of it almost being playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a problem with it, like you said, unless it's inconsistent and a lot of Kings fans are holding their breath because they just assume that the Kings are going to get the short end of the stick. And I don't know. If you look at the free throws the last two games that the Kings won, does that mean that things were officiated differently and the Kings were fouling even more than normal? Right. I have no clue because, to be fair, it doesn't seem like it based on the free throw discrepancy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they played two pretty...
Merchant-y.
Yeah, two pretty specific situations there. We have Giannis and Dame, two of the five most free throw attempts in the NBA, and then Bron and AD on the Lakers. Like, that's just a recipe for foul calls. So we'll probably get a better view of it in this Knicks game because, I mean, if we think the Kings are playing physical now, the New York Knicks, they bring out baseball bats, 2x4s, all of it. Like, that's going to be a really, really physical game, and that's probably going to play more so into the hands of the Knicks. But I would guess in most circumstances it'll probably play in the favor of the Kings, but we'll see. I mean, they really don't attract that many fouls in general anyway. The Kings aren't really great at getting to the foul line, thankfully, because they don't really make them anyway. It's definitely
been better lately.
They've definitely been better lately. But even still, like, you know, they only went to the line 12 times yesterday and still hit 9 of them. I think it's probably not going to be something we really notice much, but I think it should help the Kings out in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think going back to what we said about OG Anunoby versus Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
Look, man, I think brands matter. I think
refs
are humans. Okay, that's a defensive guy. I mean, yeah, we're gonna say his name. I know it's like Voldemort out here, but Draymond Green.
Right.
Draymond Green, he's a great defender, but does he get away with stuff that other defenders do not get away with? Yes, because he's a defensive guy. OG Anunoby, same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, right? The brands aren't as strong out here, so the Kings don't have that guy. Now, Keon Ellis, if he continues on this path,
and
it's, this is a defensive guy they brought in, and my nickname, Ellis Island, continues to take off, and
that'll
the refs see it, you can get a little handsy.
That's right.
You can get a little handsy. De'Aaron Fox, I think, actually has a pretty good brand, it sounds silly, but the swipe of the fox. There are times, Chris, when I'm watching the game, and De'Aaron is, that's
slapping.
A reaching foul.
Yeah, he's slapping.
That's a reaching foul.
Yes.
And he does not get it called because he's a steals guy. And the refs know that he's a steals guy.
Sure.
So I think all of that helps. And hopefully the Kings can continue to use it to their advantage. We are 20 minutes away from the Hasan Minhaj giveaway, Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center. That is on March 29th. When we return, national media is starting to show love for the Kings. Does it feel a bit odd to not actually complain because they're giving the Kings love? Let's just discuss. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Fifteen minutes away. Your chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj, local legend, at Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center in beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. We were talking about Chris and his post game, which he's been doing a great job on.
Thank you.
Wanted to mention this as well. Just want to continue to ingratiate myself with you beautiful, beautiful Kings fans. We have launched off nights that will be on YouTube. Essentially, most nights the Kings don't play. When they don't play for 2 days straight, most of the time I will, unless it's on a weekend and I'm counting Friday as a weekend, so most of the time I will be on the day before the game. But in this situation, I will be on tonight, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., just right there on YouTube, just talking some Kings. So if you are around 7 p.m., 8 p.m., hop on the old YouTube with your chat, and we will continue to Talk Kings. So Chris is doing his thing with the post game.
Yes.
I got off nights with Alan Stiles going on as well. As much Kings talk as you could ever want.
Down the stretch here, man. We're nonstop pretty much.
That's right. That's right. That's right. As we continue the conversation, you have the Sac Chat asking. Yeah, so it's just live. So if you are subscribed to Sactown Sports on YouTube, the same way you access these shows, you will be able to find your boy.
You also have it on Twitter and Facebook as well?
It will also be on Twitter and Facebook as well. So tell yo friends. Yes. And we are telling our friends about what the Sacramento Kings have been doing. And Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp have had some conversations. And, you know, they're very even-keeled people as well.
Much
Stephen
like
A. This was actually a couple – this is a, actually a couple days ago where Stephen A. Smith had some things to say when at this point in time, so it's pretty funny, we have Shannon Sharp a couple days ago, and then we have Shannon Sharp after last night, who is a known – I don't even know if he's actually a Laker fan – he's just a LeBron fan. Let's hear from Stephen A. Smith and what he had to say about the Kings.
Sacramento ain't nothing to be worried about. I'm talking about Sacramento against y'all.
Not in the seven-game series.
Against y'all. What? What? Sacramento will take y'all. You do understand that, right? They will take y'all.
They will take y'all. He goes on to say the Pelicans as well. And the funny part about the conversation is that the chances of – the Kings playing the Lakers in a seven-game series. Very low.
Zero. It's zero. The Kings are not climbing up into the top three because, as we know, the Lakers, I mean, they're definitely – their only hope to get into the playoffs at this point is winning the play-in.
And yeah.
I think the only spot that they can get if they're in that 8-10 or 9-10 matchup is that 8 seed. So, yeah, good luck with that one.
Good luck with that one. Now, here is after last night, Shannon Sharp and what he had to say about those same Sacramento Kings.
The Kings, I don't want to see those Kings in the playoffs. I don't want to see them in the play-in tournament. I don't want to see them at the AAU tournament. I don't want to see them at the Blacktop. I don't want to see the Kings no more. This year, the rest of the year, I hope we don't see the Kings.
I don't want to see them on the Blacktop.
Wow.
I don't want to see them at the YMCA. I don't want to see them at the CYO. Nowhere.
I swear, if you listen really closely to both of those clips, I swear, now you might have to like really put your ear to the radio. You can hear just a little bit of respect there for the Sacramento Kings on
that's
a national stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can't be hearing that right. Because I know that's not from the four-letter network.
Yeah.
Well, no way.
Look, you beat two teams like that.
Should we tune into the NBA today?
No, probably not.
Maybe they're not talking about what's wrong with the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it for the Lake Show?
Well, Windhorst was on Lake that show. Again. Windhorst was on that again saying he was saying – oh, well, the Lakers, they just, if they can get out of the play-in and just see the Thunder.
Look out.
They've played well against the Thunder. Oh, and look, this is what they do. We understand that. But for Shannon to now go back and acknowledge that the Kings, essentially, they own the, they're just not the same team.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They're not the same team again. And clearly, they're not only losing to the Kings.
Right.
So if they could only lose to the Kings, then they wouldn't be stuck in the 10 seed.
Right.
But even when they've lost close games, they just do not have it against the Kings. LeBron is out here driving around, contemplating life. Yep. You have D'Lo.
With his driving glove on. Don't
with his driving
glove.
D'Lo had to take his braids out. There's just a lot going on. It's just they don't like, and it doesn't matter.
No.
In L.A.
Nope.
In Sacramento.
Nope.
You will get this work.
Blow the lead. They blew a 19-point first quarter lead.
That broke them.
It was over. Mm-hmm. It was over.
Because they said we could
point.
Split.
Yep.
At that point, we could split.
That was the hope. Mm-hmm. And their hopium's out the door.
Yeah.
They're looking for – yeah, I'm not going to take that further. let's just keep it there.
I really threw you to the ground like that, J.J.
He said that same thing to HB, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, these Lakers, they just can't match up with the Kings. They've lost five straight. I think it's now 7 of 8 that they've lost to this Kings team. They cannot figure them out. AD and LeBron, I think it is really, and you pointed it out before the last time these two teams met. I think it was Jason Timpf pointed out this team's speed. I just think that LeBron is at an advanced age. AD is, I mean, there was a possession in the fourth quarter where AD was literally on the floor on the offense, on their offensive side for the entirety of the Kings' offensive possession. Those guys do not want to run at all. And I think, you know, the fact that the Kings really seem to push the pace or make sure to make an emphasis to push the pace against the Lakers, I just think that's a match made in heaven for the Kings. But the Lakers just, they don't want to play the Kings' style of play. They want to slow things down. They want to get you in half court. They want LeBron to dissect your zone, and they want AD and LeBron to get to the foul line. That's not how the Kings want to play at all. Mm-hmm. And the Kings have just been better at dictating the pace and dictating the play.
Yeah, and they will not see each other again unless somehow it happens in the playoffs, and they will see what happens at that point. As we see different texts and calls come in, Chris, one thing I wanted to get back to as we discuss the Kevin Huerter thing, you know, you have coaches that deal with players differently, right? And part of that, and it's not to make an excuse or to give somebody a longer leash, but if we believe that Coach Mike Brown knows this team better than anybody else, right? And don't forget, he said they are the most connected, right?
That's right.
We have to believe that he knows best, and he knows whether or not starting or sitting somebody can negatively or positively affect the team,
right?
If the juice is worth the squeeze. When you played sports growing up, and I'm not just talking to Chris or Timon, I'm talking to everybody, there were people and there were coaches that had to be handled differently. How do you react to certain things, right? If somebody yells, if you have a coach that's a yeller,
right?
If you yell at everybody, you might not get the best out of everybody because everybody doesn't react that way. The same way we're different learners.
Yeah.
Some people are visual learners. Some people are audio learners. You can't just yell at everybody. At least back in the day, you probably could. But now it's, okay, let me handle this person differently or that person differently. There are some guys, and that's not to say that Kevin Huerter is not built like that or whatever, but if you believe that Coach Mike Brown has a pulse of the team, you have to believe that he's not continuing to play Kevin Huerter because he's stubborn. He's continuing to play Kevin Huerter because he thinks that is what's best for this team.
Yeah.
Is he right or not? Who knows,
right?
But he's the head coach.
Yeah.
And he knows that at this point in time, if he sits Kevin Huerter or if he ruins that confidence, maybe Kevin Huerter, and this is me just speculating, there are some people that says, oh, I'm going to show you. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're going to sit me? Maybe Kevin Huerter wouldn't react like that. Mm-hmm. And then you're getting even less from him when you don't have – they're trying to build a longer bench. If you bury Kevin Huerter just to start Keon, you've actually created a shorter bench.
Right. Yeah. Because you might lose him.
Because now you might lose him.
Yeah.
Whatever the conversation needs to be in the summer, we will have that conversation when it is 95 degrees because everybody keeps telling me how hot it's going to be in Sacramento.
It's going to be warm. 95. You're going to wish it was 95 degrees.
Stop. You can fry an egg on the cement.
Dead serious. I was about to say something else. I had to censor myself.
I grew up in Concord. It gets hot in Concord.
No, you got to stop. I mean, 115 degrees is a little different than the East Bay.
No, I'm telling you. Anybody that moved from the East Bay to Sacramento, hop on the text line.
And tell this man how crazy
he is. No, tell me, we're built for this. We're built for this. But maybe Coach Brown knows that he cannot sit somebody, and if he loses a bench player in Keon and doesn't get a bench player back in Kevin Huerter, honestly, it's also timing.
Yeah.
You might even want to argue about not making this move sooner, but it's probably just too late in the season to make a move like this. We will continue to break it down. We see a text that we want to read who is asking a similar question. We will continue to break all that down. We have the giveaway when we return as well. We will also discuss where the Kings can improve and continue to improve with the Knickerbockers coming Saturday night. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento, where you at?